Hello, hello, and we are back. This is Cindy.
And this is Nat.
And this is Morado Lens.
Okay, honey. And we have two amazing brujos on the line right now by the name of Favi Fav and Babelito.
Dr. Babelito.
Oh, hello.
But we're going to get into that in a little bit, okay? They are the hosts of Latinos Who Lunch, and they are some badass artists who talk about everything from politics to culture to food, because they eat on the show and it's dope as hell. So please check it out. And they are on the line right now. Hello.
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 I love that.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch.
Oh, honey. But let me ask you a question, though. Around the neighborhoods these days, I've been hearing Justin and now Favi Fav.
Let's clear that up.
And I want to clear up this name change in the podcast. Give us a little background.
Well, we decided to use our like social media names on the podcast. And by we, I mean Babelito decided that. because Babelito's out here trying to get a job. And, you know, on the podcast, we have a very, we're just very honest and say whatever we want. So he didn't want that to hinder his opportunities. So that's why I'm Favi Fav and Babelito. But I don't really care if they call me my real name, Justin. But people have been calling me Favi since high school. So it's like, I don't even hear the difference, really.
Got it. And Babelito, tell us more. You're all quiet back there. What's going on? Why this name change?
It's interesting because I was very hesitant in the beginning about the podcast for that same reason. Because I'm like, I'm going to stick my mind. And it's actually had the opposite effect. It's been opening a lot of doors for both of us, both in the art world and in the podcast world. But I don't know. Babelito is a nickname that I've been using since junior high. And I needed an opportunity to use, you know, like professionally. So that's why.
Is it really a nickname if nobody calls you that?
Oh my God. Tell me more.
Babelito, is this like a self-imposed nickname?
I've never heard anybody call you that except people like the Latino Who Lunch world. Like before that, did anybody call you that?
Yeah, like in high school, people used to call me that because I used to sign Babel or Babelito or Babeluco for everything.
Oh, you were signing like, signatures in high school?
He's like, I know I'm gonna be famous.
He's
bitch.
Like, I'm a
yeah, because I was very dark. So I used to be obsessed.
I can't imagine you being so dark. You're so happy-go-lucky.
That sounds like Cindy.
Oh, my God. You don't even know, girl.
The dark, happy-go-lucky child.
Call me at late at night. We'll talk some dark stuff. I'm dark, too, but I don't know what it is. I'm happy-go-lucky. And then at night, I'm like, you know what? Journal. I got thoughts. So it looks like Babelito's the same.
Los murciélagos salen a la noche. That's
Epa. Why. So true, though. You got to balance
How do you say murciélagos in English?
Bats. You know where I learned that? Dora.
Really?
Dora the Explorer. She opened up my world. I know. She's exactly what she did. I was like, yo, I didn't know that.
Well, first of all, you sounded just like Dora. So if things go bad for you, you could just do the voice of Dora. It's not even Babelito or Favita. It's Dora now, honey. So
I have enough with people confusing me with Dora, so we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, okay. That's a whole other podcast. So tell me, guys, what's your journey been like? Tell me what's been going on the show, what's going on, how we can support you. Tell me everything.
Well, we are doing the damn thing, and we decided to really commit to the podcast. So we started off as bi-monthly, now we're weekly. And we haven't missed an episode yet. We've been doing it for over a year.
Good for you.
And we've been trying new things here and there because we have been traveling and not in the same room. And just like we learned that doing the podcast separately, it just does not work for us. We need to like we need to do it together. It like loses its juice, you know?
Yeah, because you feed off
connection, right?
Yeah, you feed off each other's energy. Natalie and I do that too. Like, we try to call in where Natalie totally. Was in her home and I was here and I was just like so lonely. I was just like, I got no one to look at.
But also, I feel like my energy was low on the phone because I didn't feel your energy. Like, you're my motivation, honestly. It's like it's a conversation of the two. So it was so bad, Babelito and Favi, the Fav, that when we went to Standing Rock, I'm like, Cindy, I can't do this by myself. So bitch got a ticket the night before, ended up at Standing Rock in the front lines with me.
I was like, I'm there.
Just to shoot the podcast. So we understand.
We understand, honey. So you're each other's work wives. That's beautiful. I love that.
And with Fabi and I, we have like unspoken rules. So there's certain like movements that I know it's my turn to talk or to look at me a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're able to keep it going because we know exactly what's going on with each other. But when we're on the phone, we cannot see that. So we can, because Fabi does all the editing, he ends up editing for a long, long time because we keep cutting and putting and taking. But when we're just in front of each other, we can do a whole entire episode.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. We're together.
We're like twinsies. By the way, we're 20. Yeah. We should do a double date soon.
You're like the male version of us, guys. I just realized that right now.
And we like food. Like, we were going to do a food thing, too. But we're like, we're going to be known as, like, the fucking gluttons of the podcast world. So we chose not to. So we eat a lot off camera when no one's watching. Like, a lot. Mm-hmm. But so we understand, we love that you appreciate that and you make that part of your show, but also that you understand this connection you have with each other and you need that to like keep it going. You know what I mean? That being said, we've been getting a lot of questions and comments from our community of women that want to start their own podcast, whether it's because we inspired them or they just got into it now. But their whole thing is like, but how do you even start that? Like, okay, I want to start a podcast. And so Cindy and I have told our story on this before, but we want to know from you, two men, two hilarious men, one of which was semi one foot in, one foot out because he didn't want his identity to be known.
Batman.
Well, also, I think there's a little bit of like maybe you weren't owning it fully yet at that time, but you knew this is what you wanted to do. So what let you go take it to the next step and record and start being so vulnerable?
Well, we've been talking about it before we started the podcast for at least a couple of years, actually, since we met, because we found each other engaging in these amazing conversations, but it was just, you know, like just us and some mochas. But we kept thinking about recording. And finally, one day I was like, well, we both were like, let's just do it. We found some equipment that somebody let us borrow. And you can hear in the first episode, we chew into the microphone. It sounds like we're in an echo chamber. But once we got it started, we couldn't stop. I mean, we had a commitment of keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also committing to the vulnerability, right? Like we said from the very beginning, like we love the idea of it's just two guys having a conversation, so that we would have, you know, in private almost. So sometimes we have to check ourselves on the podcast and be like, wait, like, are we talking to an audience or are we having a conversation? So like, you'll hear in the podcast sometimes where we start to stray away from that, and then the next episode we come back and it's just us bullshitting, because that's the original intent of the show, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But interviewing people, we try to make it more of a conversation than a, like, you know, than an interview, because we're trying to mimic that rhythm, that feeling that happens, or what actually happens when you're in a coffee shop or a taco shop hanging out with your friends.
Yeah, like you're a fly on the wall. Right. That's really a very difficult, like, angle to grasp. Yeah, at all times.
It's a balance. I mean, we have the same thing as well. Like, Cindy and I, we love that. But at the same time, like, okay, we don't want people to lose the gist of a professional platform, right? We still want to be able to go on iTunes and sound and look or whatever professional. But at the same time, most of our best feedback has been that people love, women in particular, how we sound like we're two girls on a couch having a very honest conversation.
Yeah,
correct.
And that's what I love about you guys. You know, when I first heard you, I'm like, wow, this does feel like Cindy and I are talking bullshitting. And even the way you guys call each other out, it's so like, this is what friends do when you're having a real conversation. And I think that we're in the world right now that we don't want this fluff and this over commercialized product. We want like true honest conversation, because social media keeps us fucking honest.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I appreciate you guys, honestly, when you do the kind of laid back, you know, conversation to the more concise interview format. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when the where the food comes in. This is the way that breaks the ice, especially with guests that we don't know very well. We just sit down, and one of the things that we learned from the first episode is one of them is not to chew from the microphone. So we decided to start our podcast recording
before the recording. We sit down, we eat a little bit, we talk, we break the ice. We've had difficult interviews, like the one with Pam from Café con Pam, that require us to hang out and really get to know each other for a while. And then we sit down, we ate, and then we're able to start the conversation without feeling awkward or feeling strange about the situation.
Yeah.
It was just natural.
Yeah, that's what the meal, the lunch before the recording has become the pre-production in a sense, like the pre-interview, and it just helps so much because the conversation is more natural instead of like us really getting to know each other on the mic.
Dude, that makes so much sense. For us, we turn to a lovely thing called wine. And we give that to our guests, and we're like, how about this wine? They're like, no, I don't know. We're like, no, how about this wine? Drink it, damn it. So you can loosen up, and we could talk about some serious-ass shit.
Well, it's so funny, because I've been going through a cleansing process. So I said, no wine for me for, like, 2 weeks at least.
Oh, dear.
So actually, this is the second time we're recording without any wine at all, Sunday.
Oh, my God, that's true.
I've been having seltzer
water. And we're
still
spunky. Okay. I mean, that says something.
But she did cook me.
I looked at, I'm like, I'm drinking water. The only thing I did give her, though, guys, I have to say, this is Natalie on, I mean, I always have to feed it. It every 2 hours it wants to eat. And it's the tiniest thing you've ever seen in your life. And she's constantly hungry. It's unbelievable.
I'm so glad
actually.
I became the it in my work wife's life.
I just fed her. Like, somebody will come around and be like, y'all want to eat? She's like, I'm starving. I'm like, yo, but I just fed you. Like, I don't understand.
Pero
esa
like a perra, though. I just
fed her. I know, I'm so sorry. It's just you eat so much. It's just unbelievable to me. The metabolism is real. But
tell us a little bit more about Vegas. I'm going to keep it 100%. I don't like Las Vegas, right? So I'm from New York, and the only times I've been to Las Vegas is not talking. I've been there only for, like, you know, the typical Latino, I was going to say Latino. I'm like, no, I'm always Latina. But like the casino aspect with the pools, with like dudes that are just so obnoxious. And I just feel like that's all I know. Can you give the world and myself what else Las Vegas has to offer?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you only go to the Strip, it's trash. So everybody that goes there, you have to have a certain amount of money to like have a good time in Las Vegas. That's for sure, right? And then if you're not into like,
I guess that's also
fine
the problem.
Dining or
she went over those folk. Man. Like, why am I not being wined and dined by the Strip?
That's all. Now I know. Now
get yourself
a
stage name. Maybe you'll get some dollars that way. That was not going to happen then.
No. Like, if you're not into like the pool parties and the clubs and you know, yeah, you're going to have an awful time in Las Vegas. But like, we are in the middle of a beautiful desert, and we have like beautiful parks. We have. You know, just 10 minutes, like, in either direction of the Strip is, you know, dozens of neighborhoods with their own culture and their own communities. So you just have to, like, kind of come with a different mindset. Like, I just went to Miami, and I was like, place is fucking trash. But then
Wait, what part of Miami did you go to, though?
The Strip, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, the Strip.
Oh, exactly. So then I'm like, I need to get out of this South Beach area, and I'm going to go into Little Haiti, into Little Havana. And of course, it was wonderful there. You just have to find your people, and it's a good experience.
Well, hello, we found you. Now it's time for us to physically go there, and we get a little tour by the Latinos Who Lunch Brujos.
You know, I've never been out there, so this will be an experience for me. I want to go out there for to experience the Strip. Blah, blah, blah. Maybe go to a strip club or something. But I really want to go to the parks. That's like my
nature.
Deal.
Take us to nature in Las Vegas, please.
And then my God. It's beautiful here. What wouldn't you say, Babelito? The nature around here is beautiful.
Well, we can do two types of safari. We can go and see people on the Strip.
Oh, honey. He became a tour guide. He's like, I have it all planned out.
And then we can do a real, real safari and go to the desert. Because, it is. It is incredible. And that's the thing, people complain about the heat. But really, it's 2 months where, it's unbearable. But the rest of the year is beautiful.
He's like, and he'll die, but it's good.
But you get, like the humidity, for example, in Miami that the Justin just just dealt with. Mm-hmm. And just like, I don't know, you guys get those crazy winters that I don't know how do you survive.
Exactly.
It's the same thing in the desert. Yeah.
I ask myself that question every winter.
You know what gets us by? Complaining. We just complain the whole goddamn time.
That's why New Yorkers are it's true. That's why New Yorkers are so angry.
They call them everybody
the angry New Yorkers. Yeah. It's because of that.
I think so. We're still dealing from the slush of like 2015. Like, we're not over it, guys. I noticed that. It's just that it becomes all beautiful. You look at Central Park through the news and you're like, oh my God, it's picturesque. And then you go onto the slush that slaps you in the face and ruins your shoes and ruins your day. And you're like, why do I live here? I know, but you know what? It's only like 2 months of that and then it's fine.
But I'll say the same thing about New York. People think of New York as just Manhattan and that city. But you go upstate New York or even just an hour away from New York and you start to see beautiful trees and parks and nature. Yeah. And really, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we haven't talked about it yet, so this is kind of a pre-production meeting, but I want to do more live events maybe, or a little bit of traveling. So I have a couple meetings coming up for at different institutions, like universities and stuff, and hopefully we can do some Latino to Lunch live podcasting or interviews or conversations.
That would be amazing.
I think that would be really fun.
Oh my God, we can be in the crowd and like cheer you on and then not be recognized as Murado because we'll be kind of ratchet, but we'll just be like, yeah, Latinos who lunch. Where's their lunch? Somebody get them their lunch. So speaking about food, you guys have eaten, you know, quite a bit on the show, and I'm always walking out of there mad hungry, like craving an empanada or like Mexican food. So what are your favorite food, your go-to foods, like maybe for the show or something to get you amped for the show? Like, what is it?
Or just in general.
Yeah, tacos. That's true. Ooh, yes, honey.
Tacos.
¿Qué tipos de tacos?
Oh, my God. I ate so many tacos last episode that I couldn't. Well, actually, it didn't come out. It's going to come out in like a couple weeks, but we interviewed our friend Rudy, and I probably ate like the equivalent of like 10 tacos.
Oh, wow.
And Babelito was like, dude, are you okay? Yeah, like, he was falling asleep in front of our guests, and I'm like, dude.
I was not sleeping!
Digesting all them tacos, you know?
But the best part is that right after that, my mother had a little celebration for me, and guess what we ate?
Tacos?
More tacos?
It was amazing.
Pero, oh my God.
And you better believe I had 4 tacos at his mom's house.
Because you know how to live your damn life, yes.
That's right.
Oh my God.
So a question. Have you guys ever tried Ecuadorian ceviche versus Peruvian ceviche?
I knew this was
ceviche?
Coming up. Look, guys, you don't have to answer. This is a question that she sets people up with to say that Ecuadorian ceviche is the best, but we all know Peruvian is the best. But now you can answer without
any bias. Cindy's already planting the seed, like the slick one that she is.
Yeah,
without
the
answer.
I'm like, you better answer correctly. It's Peruvian. Look, I'm Peruvian. Natalie's Ecuadorian, but she got some Peruvian ancestry in her. That's why she's so sassy like me. So
in Las Vegas, I don't know. I don't think we have Ecuadorian, but we sure do have Peruvian. And we've eaten it in the podcast maybe twice.
You don't see this, but I'm raising the roof right
clearly
now, guys.
Clearly you can't have a consensus without trying both.
Oh, Ecuadorian. Well, Ecuadorian, wait.
When you come here, I'll give you some Ecuadorian, and then we'll re-ask you the question.
Can you describe the Ecuadorian ceviche for us, please?
Yes,
in
I
detail,
can.
Please.
Actually, yes,
in detail.
I will. The Ecuadorian,
truth,
the Ecuadorian one will. Yes. The Ecuadorian ceviche is like this. It's this mouth-watering, kind of luscious, kind of juicy in your mouth with a little sweet, but a little bitter with the lemony kind of vibe. So you feel like it's cleansing you with that citrus.
Yeah.
And then you have it with a little side of tostitos or like the what they call like platanos, but the little ones. And then so you have that crisp kind of texture that also makes you feel like it's soft but wild in your mouth.
Okay,
oh
you did not
God.
Mention any of the ingredients. You just
oh
made
my
it
God.
Sound. You made it sound.
Who said, oh my God,
because
I think I got you.
Look, she went around that, by the way. I got to go in there and edit that. You literally described a spiritual experience. You did not experience any ingredients of any goddamn food.
That's my inner bruja, bitch.
Look,
okay?
All I know is that it's amazing and I'm having an orgasmic experience, but pero hay pescado, no hay pescado. Like, tell me something.
Pero someone said, oh my God, that means they liked it.
Okay, no. Are there any ingredients in the spiritual orgasm?
Bueno, sí.
Ecuador,
One of the Ecuadorian ones. So the what's in it? It's a lot of lemon.
Ceviche is just a state of mind.
Yeah, and that's why they souped and they think it's good. Oh, honey, my God, you just solved so many fights. So many food fights right now.
Let's not talk about it.
Okay, but go on. Let's see what's in it, because this is where I debunk the truth. Okay, guys? Okay. Go tell me what's in it, honey.
Well, it's a lot of lemon, so citrus, so vitamin C, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And it keeps you cleansed. Pero arriba de eso, there's a lot of onions shredded thinly, right? There's tomato, there's a little cilantro in there. But at times, certain parts of Ecuador like to add ketchup in it. And they mix it.
Yes.
So that's
you
kind
had
of
me in ketchup.
Thank you.
Mexicans do that shit too.
Thank you, beautiful. Honey. Oh, no. Thank you. So maybe you'll like Ecuadorian ceviche more after all. And Cindy, you shut it, girl. You shut it. Ecuadorian ceviche is the way to go.
Oh, my God.
It's an orgasmic situation when it comes to food.
I can't even describe Peruvian ceviche now, because she just went in there with ketchup. And I can't top that right now. If you guys like ketchup in your food, which is very odd.
Well, Cindy puts ketchup on eggs. And Cindy puts ketchup on eggs.
Because I grew up in America. Okay, that's what we do.
When so you like ketchup. But give me
that sugar salsa.
Okay, yeah. Honey.
Okay, Peruvian ceviche is by far the best. Ecuadorians have said it. Even the Ecuadorian on the line right now.
I doubt that greatly.
I have audio that proves her very wrong. So it's usually fresh fish caught that day. Mm-hmm.
Caught that day is hilarious.
Oh, excuse me. Hello. Caught that day.
They get farm to table. Let's see about that one.
Dike, it's all farm
to
table.
Go to Queens.
Okay?
See how farm to table. That's not happening.
We're so not Dominican to be saying Dike, but we do. So it's beautifully fresh fish, usually a tilapia, cooked in lime juices with onions.
Well, they said they had it already.
Also with octopus. With shrimp, with gancha, which is like our Peruvian
they do that too,
crunchy.
It's not
ours
my favorite.
Is better.
It's
y'all?
It's got that black water. Honestly, I don't like it on either side. Black water look not right.
No. Gancha is the Peruvian. No, it's a Peruvian popcorn almost. It's corn. It's toasted.
Oh, I
and
love
it's
that.
Put on the side.
Love
that. Honey.
Yes.
No, but
yes.
Ecuadorians do the same thing, though. It's from the same
land.
No,
they don't. They soak that shit in the lime juice for too long, and it gets all soaky.
Just to finish the conversation with that. It's basically the cancha is grown on the same land because that's the land Peru stole from Ecuador. So it's the same, like literally the same corn of lineage.
You hear the angst?
Part of the same thing. But I want to jump, forget ceviche. We'll give you guys a little
test. Look, she's trying to, let's just say, I'll say one last thing.
Okay, go.
She wants to end this conversation about ceviche because she knows it's the best.
Go.
Okay? That's all I'm saying.
But
you guys are a witness.
But it's her turn to describe Mexican ceviche.
Mexican ceviche, talk to me.
There we go.
Hello.
Okay, you do it. It's called aguachiles because it's basically fish, a lot of lemon juice, and chile serranos. And what you do, you put everything in a blender, not the fish, because it's also sliced thin tilapia or even shrimp. But you put a lot of lemon and lime juice, and then you put a lot of cilantro, and then salt, pepper, and also you put a chile serrano, depending how spicy you want it. And you just make the juice, and then you pour it on top of the fish, and there you go. And there you go.
But how do you cure the fish? Because it's raw or it's cooked?
It's raw. So with the lime juice, it starts cooking itself. So they make it. I think they wait a little bit so that they can start cooking, and then they serve it to you.
That's how you cure it.
That sounds really good. I don't think I've ever had Mexican ceviche.
That sounds perfect with a Bloody Mary I'm going to have in the near future.
Always trying to integrate some kind of ketchup into this mix. Okay,
fine. I like tomato. tomato.
So when you guys come to the East Coast, we'll take you to try some Ecuadorian ceviche, and then you can end the night with a beautiful Peruvian ceviche.
We're going
to
blindfold you.
Oh, my God.
We're going to blindfold you and do both at the same time because you guys deserve that. You deserve answers right away.
The right answers.
The ceviche test. I like that.
Guys, I think that'll be it. And then we can celebrate with a Mexican ceviche.
Okay. Get a little spicy with it.
I love it. We could find that all in the city.
It
would be good.
I love it. Okay. So we have a tour happening. We go see the safari in Las Vegas. And you guys come to the city over here that's a little crazy and try all three dishes.
Yes. That would be fantastic.
Done. But before we go, that's a date for the future. Before we go, the world wants to know how Latinos who lunch brujos tap into your inner bruja.
Oh, my God. How do I tap into my inner bruja?
Yes. Do tell.
Let's see. Babelito, you want to go first? Have you guys listened to our episodes about brujas and brujos?
No, we haven't. How did I miss that one? This is about to get juicy. What? I feel it in the awkward silences. Give it to me.
I just had a very interesting conversation in because I was in Miami, and you know, something's different there. There's something in the water, right? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about my family and like my Guatemalan side of the family and how they're really religious. But before they were religious, there used to be like psychics in my family. I know. And when I was little, I used to have like Vestal Raven moments all the time. I was taught from a very young age to suppress those like visions and those feelings. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering now, like, what if I start tapping back into it?
You can always tune into it. Yeah, that's the like, beauty of it.
Tune back in, right? Yes. So yeah.
You just changed the channel for a little while.
So I'm just trying to figure out a way to do that, like, without, because my family's still really religious. So, like, I got to find the right person to, like,
Well, you came to the right platform because Cindy and I have a couple of baños and rituals. Yes, and very simple rituals. Not this is for like Brujo 101 to start to have that conversation with your intuition again because you maybe have stopped and yet you're probably still following it in so many different ways. Like you guys coming together for this podcast is your intuition, is your creative spirit telling you where to go and you're listening to it, which is why so many paths are opening for you guys and people are really being receptive to your conversation. So you're following it, pero you're not giving it the full admiration and attention that it needs. Because from a spiritual perspective, maybe you are clairvoyant. And, you know, I grew up in a family where my mom was a bruja. This is not talking. So for me, it was very common. And I did the opposite of you. When my mom passed away, I wanted to get rid of anything that was bruja related because I just felt like it wasn't holy. Yeah, it took a lot of years of me mourning my mother, and it wasn't until I fully mourned her that I finally got to feel comfortable with being a bruja again and kind of, in a way, continuing her legacy and my ancestry, like, you know, everything that comes from that, right? But for you, it's because your family shamed you to not. You've, like, shut it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I want the full brujo to come out. We're going to send you a little baño to do after this interview. And for anyone out there who's looking to start to tap into their intuition more because maybe they feel like they've put it to the side, check out our blog. We'll have it on Morado Lens, and we'll put it in honor of you guys, Latinos who launched Baño to tap into your inner bruja.
Because you're not the first and you won't be the last whose family has been a little bit hesitant to say, like, you know, that's not Catholic or that's not religious or that's not how we do things.
It's a Catholic shame. Because to be honest, our culture and the Catholic shame plays a big part of all that.
But you can be Catholic and you can be spiritual. Like, that's how... I mean, I had a different situation. I don't know if you guys know this. Like, both my parents are hardcore brujos, and they've always tried to be like, well, you know, when are you going to finally embrace it? We're waiting for you to come around. And I'm like, I'm going to go to college, and when I come back, this conversation never happened, okay? Because it's weird. So,
that is incredible.
So you
are both descendants of, like, legit brujos.
Yeah.
Yes. Brujekis.
Yes.
Wow.
Exactly.
But only one is a descendant of good ceviche. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, why you gotta come back with that for? Who puts ketchup in the ceviche? An animal. That's who does it.
We are not going back to that, honey.
Animal.
Let it go, Marimar.
Pero we forgot about one other brujo over there.
Hello, Babelito.
We didn't forget about you. Stay quiet. My
experience is a little bit more like the college one because I think for a long time, my refusal of religion didn't allow me to try to understand any spiritual practices whatsoever. And I always, like, put them on the side, up until maybe a couple of years ago. Because one of the things that I've learned in school is to be able to embrace other epistemologies, other forms of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Western system of universities, you're only taught to think one way, in the European way, and that's it.
Yep.
And when you learn that's what you're doing, then you start opening up. So even though I won't label myself a brujo, I am open to understand different forms of knowledge, which I was completely dismissive of for a long, long time. And it's taken me a long, long ass time to come to that, those conclusions. So when people talk about spirituality, I don't dismiss them anymore, because there is a reason why thousands upon thousands of different forms of knowledge were suppressed in the past 500 years.
So what
now
sparked
I pose
that
embrace?
Question,
and then I, at least I accept, you know, at least I listen, because I didn't even do that before.
But what sparked that interest? Like, what sparked that embrace, really, from you, Babelito?
Because, you know, we all have the same question, is there a God? And, you know, like, things like that. And I've noticed that the more I studied, the farther away I was from that question. Yet, when we try to understand, for example, Mexica knowledge in Central Mexico, we learn that we know nothing, absolutely nothing. The more we learn, the more questions we have. But there's certain things about the way they lived and the way that even the cities were structured, how cleanliness was managed in Tenochtitlan, for example, that really makes you question about other ways of life or forms of life that we don't know anything about.
Exactly.
So I think it's the more I learn about what happened before the conquest, the more I have questions now, which, you know,
wonderful.
I think it's good.
But even from a very, like, just general, like, aspect or angle, if we talk about all the different kinds of brujeria or paganism or different witches that we know of in history, there always comes down to one real thing, and it's an energy form. But whatever you start to relate to it, or whatever herbs you use or rituals you use, that's all upon, like, wherever you're from. But I still think it goes down to one big thing. And it, like, to your point, it's a study of energy
correct.
From a very, like, intellectual, like, angle, and very away from the, you know, the mimicky stuff that people think of when they think of bruja. Oh, you have your broom, or you have your crystals, or your tarot cards. And those are just tools people use to practice that and to get in tune with different energy forms. But I think that just talking about energy is very powerful. And a veces la gente, because you can't measure it, they don't want to give it the credit that it deserves.
Correct.
The way I explain
and
it
that
to
actually
people.
Is
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That is a conversation I had with a friend, because she, shout out Nana Laite in Juarez. She loves angels. And we will have conversations, even sometimes dismissive of religion, right? But she was always with angels. And then one time we sat down for coffee, and I used to be obsessed with psychoanalysis. Not anymore. Don't get me into
it.
I don't
want
to talk about it.
What is that, though, real quick? I don't even know what that is.
Psychoanalysis,
it's
Western idea of looking into the mind and trying to quantify the mind according to dreams, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Scientology.
Yes, exactly. Science is a cult.
That exists
right.
in the West Coast more than over here. Mm-mm.
Exactly. So we were talking about that, and she stopped me. She goes, everything you're talking about, psychoanalysis, and all of these ideas that you discussed, those are all just concepts. They're not material. So think about them as energy. And I was like, holy shit.
That blew my mind right now.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the first times that I actually was able to just be quiet and listen and open up. Because, again, I would have been dismissive of that. But the way that she explained it to me and the way she put it together, it made me understand, again, that there are other forms of knowledge that we need to embrace, you know?
Wow. So it seems like your journey has like manifested itself through education, but
not also that, not just that, but Babelito, you woke. Hashtag woke, honey.
And it hurts.
It does. And you know, I want to talk about something that we touched on our Brujas episode. It's called, I think it's episode 21 or something, of Brujas and Green Chili. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And the reason why sometimes the mention of brujos, brujas, brujequis, like on other podcasts, to me is sometimes like eye roll inducing, because I don't know about you guys, but I've just started hearing these terms pop up on all sorts
of
podcasts. Like
everywhere. Yo, you think we haven't
where
noticed?
I know.
It took me a week to bring my eyes back to its normal position after all the shit I've seen in the past 2 months.
Cindy got cross-eyed from that situation.
I was like, oh my God.
Se torció.
But what do you think about like people appropriating the like Bruja culture or like using it in the wrong sense, because I've heard some podcasts where they're talking about connecting with their inner brujas, and I'm like, girl, all you're talking about is the face peel. Like, I don't know what the fuck you're, like, that's not what it's about. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, okay, girl, oh, like, you just binged, you just, like, binged all of Orange is the New Black. That ain't self-care, bitch.
Okay.
Like,
yep.
So, I don't know. It's you know,
true.
Like,
I mean, you know, I liked you guys before, like, a little bit. I liked you guys a little bit before, but I absolutely... I'm in love with you guys right
Yo,
now.
Yo, she gonna go over there. She gonna love
like,
you.
Like, my smile, it's like, goodbye, husband. Yo. I find myself two gay men who are better than any man I've seen in life. Because you said that so perfectly, but also there's pain in that. Because for me, it was more, me pongo un poquito brava, right? Like, just like my initial instinct.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, hold up. But if I do, then I'm focused on what people are doing wrong, right?
Yeah.
And there's so much wrong that's happening right now. Like, think about that... ese bobo presidente that we have, for example, you know, like, even from that, if I get upset at what he's doing as opposed to what do I have to do to make sure that we stay true to our word and we keep our ancestors' story as genuine as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's really my concern. When I think of my mother being a bruja and how much I hated her for being a bruja, because I legit had diaries asking God to, like, rid her away because she's a bruja from my life. Mm. Like, she's not good for me.
Orale.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I come from a place where I completely felt embarrassed and ashamed by it. But it's because I saw the judgment of society and my mother.
Yeah.
And I think that I didn't want to go through that same pain. And in a way, it's like the way someone coming out of the closet, like being gay, sometimes you don't want to come out of the closet, not because you give a shit, you just don't want to hurt your loved ones because of how society's going to treat them, right? Like, society could be pretty shitty sometimes. So I think that's that, but embracing it and understanding the beauty and the story has to be told. So to that I say, all those people that are appropriating, I always talk crap, but like, me da cosa when I go to Urban Outfitters and I see a whole sage packet being sold. And I know it's by, like, that white man somewhere taking from our people and our land and rebranding, you know.
Wakala.
And that white label shit is a problem to me.
Oh, my God.
But to that I say, you know, okay, Latinos who lunch, you're brujos. Clearly, Babalito's still trying to find it, but you're already woke. So you can't come back from that.
Oh,
that's it.
Man.
You're already a brujo, whether you like it or not, you know. But what are you going to do to tell
true,
that story?
Yeah.
And you guys are doing it through your podcast.
Yeah.
And I, you know, shame on me. I should have known. I should have heard the Bruja in Green. I heard all your other ones and they were amazing.
Same too. I must have missed it.
Pero I will go back to this thing and I want to meet with you guys. I want to do a Brujo session.
She's in love, guys. You can't even see her face, but I see it. And I'm so, so, so glad that you bring that up, because we have got, in all honesty, we've been on the fence through this podcast about addressing that, because, like, we see the problem, but we don't want to sound like haters, because we love to support other women, because we're like, yo.
Oh, we have no problem with that. No, you got to let it out.
Yes, I'm upset, because this is something that my family treasures as their culture, as their truth, as their wellness, as their health. And you're writing an article to get some hits on it, and you're not even shouting out the origin, though. Like, what the fuck? So I gave a shout out on Facebook, like, glad to see Hello Giggles caught up. Like, I think I said some shade like that, but it's all true. Like, tell me it's not true.
Yeah, that's how I feel when I go to Bloomingdale's and I go and I see this beautiful poncho looking like thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what is this? Oh, that's Valentino, $5,000. No, bitch, that is Maria's, my fucking aunt from Peru or Ecuador. and that only cost you, the buyer, you know, $40.
But you helping Maria, though? No.
No, the markup is crazy. The white man's making money and we still have our poor indigenous women or men or whatever, Latinos in general, really still going through the struggle, and our powers are not being recognized.
Yeah.
And that brutal,
and I think that's the problem.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's a new term. There's a new term that I've been hearing. It's called faux woke.
What? Talk to me.
And this idea that you get seduced by certain things. And I think the idea of the brujos and brujas and the packaging of how it's coming out today in this capitalist society.
Yep.
It's rendering the whole entire thing sometimes almost as a joke, when, as you guys said, this is rooted in very, very deep historical family ties.
Yeah.
That get erased when you want to package yourself as this unicorn.
Yeah.
Like, and the reality
is our ancestors. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
And the reality is that it's a different type of epistemology, and it should be embraced as such. And that's why we talked about that in the episode, because one of the things that I raise is the idea of the use of the word, for example, brujo, which is
pushing other people to be seduced by it without really understanding exactly how these new forms or different forms of knowledge and understanding of ourselves really function.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Thank you for being honest with that. That's an amazing angle that we have yet to touch on, Morado. We talk a lot about being bruja, but we never really talk about the other side of it, like the darkness behind capitalism and our ancestry. And I love, you know, shout out to La Madre Curandera, actually. She's a homie, and she's also been on our podcast. But the Madre Curandera is she lives in the West Coast, too. She talks about this all the time. It's about that. It's about how her ancestors' roots and stories have to be retold because of all this lack of intersectionality and appreciation to our ancestors and our true root story, you know? So shout out to her, but also shout out to everyone like yourselves who are telling this story all over again. And I joke with you, Babelita, when I'm like, oh, you're brujo now, no matter what. But there's truth to that because you have ancestors that were part of that. So that's still part of your lineage. And it's not about you want to be a brujo. It's about just retelling that story correctly.
Correct. That's different. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Cuidado con el faux woke.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
I can't with that.
I can't. Please, guys, go to your local botanica and support them. You know, if you're so, I know it's hard to get sage sometimes. I'm tempted by Amazon too.
Don't get it from all these people that want to have these old cute, very pop like candles that mean nothing. Go to Botanica when there's energy and there's purpose there, and those candles have more of a meaning.
It's offensive because a lot of people don't even want to understand why it's offensive. But I feel like as a woke ass person, you're almost part of your responsibility to talk to the people that don't agree with you and start a conversation of sorts. So maybe they walk away with a little more knowledge. I know it's exhausting and I don't want to put that on anyone else, but
that's important because one thing is to get woke and one thing is to stay woke. Yeah. That's two different things.
The maintenance, yes.
That's the difficult part. And yes, that's the part that people don't want to deal with.
Speaking of staying woke, did you see Erykah Badu yesterday?
Where?
At the music festival you're at?
Absolutely, yes.
That's, you know, that's like my favorite bruja of all times, right?
Oh my God, that's Natalie's like
she
crush.
Is.
Where? Not even crush. Yes. Like, she's like my childhood. She is my backbone to youth, you know? She's my playground, you know?
She was royal. But I had to go see Frank Ocean. I just waited for her to call Tyrone. She called Tyrone, and then I moved on to the next stage.
Did she sing Bag Lady? One of my faves of all times.
I don't remember, girl. I was super drunk, but I remember Tyrone. Oh my
God. Wait, what festival was this, Pablito?
It's FYF. I got to see Missy Elliott, Tribe Called Quest, Frank Ocean, Bjork.
Bjork, these are all my people. These are their childhood. See, even our souls talk to each other. Next time you have to invite me, though.
Oh my gosh. El año que entra.
Vámonos.
See, if you don't invite me next year, I'm going to feel some type of way.
You see how she's in love already? The commitment is already, she's pushing it on you guys.
Okay.
Jeez. Yeah.
I want to be part of that
party. Please.
I see her. I got to hold her back now.
Music festivals are not my thing.
You know, I've never been to one either. I feel like it looks fun on the outside and then on the inside. Not like that, no.
No, I'm
never
surprised.
Because I'm just like, I think it's gonna be like a hot mess of people hitting me.
It's usually really hot too.
So yeah.
You know, I don't like the heat like
that's
that.
That's exactly what it is.
Me and Fabi Fab watching that fucking festival from the couch.
Babalito, you take me, you bring me some of your mom's tacos, we're married. Okay?
See, she's vámonos.
That's a third attempt.
It's done. I'll take you wherever.
Oh, hello.
She's flattered right now. You should see her face right now. She's blushing.
Bueno.
I love it.
Thank you for coming on our show today. This has been a very, very insightful episode.
Yes. Hilarious and touching and vulnerable. I'm so, so happy we actually had a chance to do this.
And thank you because we've been talking about this idea of brujos for a while now. So this is the first time we actually get to discuss it.
The first time you come out of
the
closet on another podcast.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So many closets.
Oh
so little
time. Well, no, guys, this is Nat.
And this is Cindy.
And this is Morado Lens.
Bye. Peace.